you've had those kind of days before, right? You know what I'm talking about. Those kind of days. Kind of day, last day or two that I've had where it seems like if you went to look something and you knew where you were going to put it, it wasn't there. And you go to fix something. I went to fix something in the house yesterday and you fix something and you discovered something else was wrong. You know what I'm talking about. You've had those kind of days. And get home from church and your son is sick and just those kind of days. Those kind of days. But if there's something I know is that often when you have those kind of days, you see and you learn about God's grace, right? And the things that he's doing and the things that he can do in your life and just what he's going to accomplish. And so I'd like to encourage you, if you're having one of those kind of days, let's look in God's Word and let's look for some encouragement. Because maybe the reason, the purpose behind one of those kind of days is your heart's broken because you want somebody to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that's a big, huge burden on your heart. And not a day goes by that someone that you love doesn't come to your mind in the fact that they don't know where they would go if they would die. And if something like what happened in Texas happened today, and you invited that person out to church, you would gladly jump in front of them because you knew where you were going, and that person didn't. And we are talking about this formula for evangelism. Now, I tell kids all the time, if you're working around the world, and if you're doing physics, all physics traces back to force equals mass times acceleration. You know, I show kids how momentum and impulse and calculus and all this stuff all heads back to, it seems like every day I go back, we can trace this back to force equals mass times acceleration. But guess what? That formula doesn't work all the time, right? That's why we have things like general relativity. And Einstein came around and said, Newton, I think you were wrong a little bit. Then they came along and said, Einstein, I think you're wrong a little bit, right? And that'll continue to happen because our God's got this place. It's so amazing compared to what we know. What we know. Even the most brilliant of us know. And my formula for evangelism, it's what God wants us to do. And this is something that, like I said when I started this, this is something that I borrowed from somebody else. I thought, that's neat. That says something to me. Sometimes when I think something is interesting to me and I share it, I think, no, this is only interesting to me. And then somebody will say, wow, thank you for that. I got a note from someone this a week ago about something that I talked about that I thought maybe was only an interest to me. And I said it months ago. And they said that meant a lot to me. And I don't know if this will mean something to you. I hope it does. But it means something to me. And I know that this formula for evangelism, we can follow this, we can live this in our lives, and we can do this for that person that we know has not accepted Jesus Christ, but it's our heart prayer and our burden that they will come to know Christ. But we also know that that's a personal thing between the Holy Spirit and that person. And so our heart cries out to God, please give every opportunity for that person to come to know Christ. And that's kind of the road I want to head down. And so I'd like to tell a story to begin to talk about the first part of this, the P, which stands for prayer. And do you guys know what the longest running radio program in the world is? Do you know what it is? Unshackled. the longest running radio program in the world. And I love listening to Unshackle. I often say, it's time to grade papers at school. Earphones go on and Unshackled, and I get in the zone and wrong, right? But I love, maybe when the story gets better, the kids get better grades or something, I don't know. But this is a story that I think could mean a lot to us. And it's the story of Dave Pearson. And I'm going to tell you his story to the best of my ability as I've listened to this, his story on Unshackled a few times in the last few weeks. But Dave, this guy right here, this is his picture, this is who he is. But he, as a young man, his mother was the son of a pastor. And when he was very, very young, his mother died in a boating accident. And Dad took him and raised him. But Dad did not want anything to do with his grandfather's religion. And walked away from that and took his son with him. He got remarried. And Dave recounts the story of his life about how it began with an alcoholic father who was abusive, and stepbrothers who were abusive. He tells stories about his brothers chasing him around the yard and beating him with the garden tools, and that just being a real terrible time for him. He had a learning disability, and he went to school, and they chased him all around the school and couldn't get him to sit still, and had a real hard time teaching him how to read. His father ended up getting divorced from his second wife. And that just drove his father deeper into alcoholism. Many times throughout the story, he talks about going to the bar with his dad, and his dad getting so drunk that his dad would say to a woman that he met, "Here's my son Dave, isn't he a wonderful kid?" All his dad just thinking, I don't want anything to do with my boy tonight. He's a handful. That kid's wild and crazy. And he was so drunk, he didn't want to have to worry about getting his son home. Say, this kid's a, and the lady would say, "Oh yeah, he's a great kid." And Dad would say, "You want him for the weekend?" And he said on so many occasions, he went to the bar with Dad and went home with a complete stranger. But you know what? All through Dave's early childhood, no gospel presence, but he had a grandfather praying for him. His grandfather had one grandchild that he never saw, and he made it his life's mission to pray for his grandson that he didn't know. And pray, and pray, and pray, and pray, and pray. And along the way, there became a lady that Dave's dad met that sent him home with for one weekend. And that lady took him to church. And it seems like sometimes we just, in this church, we have some ladies that'll bring a kid to church, right? And I'm so thankful for that, because we might have the next Dave Pearson walking through the door, right? He comes in, and they share the gospel with him through the junior church program, and he hears it. And this is different from anything he's ever heard, because he said he went to school, he didn't follow the instructions, they put him in all these special learning programs, and that just made him more angry, and his alcoholic, abusive father, and he was taken away from his father, put back with his father, taken away from his father, put back with his father. But he decided to accept Jesus Christ. in junior church at a young age. And he kept going to church and he kept learning more and more and more about Jesus. And he got to the age of 14. And finally things got just so bad with his dad and the abuse, and I think finally they found out that his dad was just not taking care of him. And they decided to finally take him out of his home and to give him to grandma and grandpa for a while. And then he ended up getting adopted. But he goes to his grandfather's house for the first time since he was an infant, gets to see his grandfather. Sits on the stairs with his grandfather for the first time. And grandfather says, "I'd like to tell you about my faith in Jesus Christ." And he says, Dave says to his grandpa, he says, "I know Jesus Christ. There's this lady who took me to church and I accepted." And grandpa was just so thrilled that his prayers worked, and he had no idea that his prayers were being answered. No idea. Until he got a chance to talk to his grandson. And here he is, he's taking this grandson with this learning disability, and he says, Dave, you need to get involved with people your age and study the Bible. And Dave starts a Bible study with friends, with teenagers his own age. He goes off to college. He goes to Bible college. He ends up becoming a pastor. And Dave began praying. Who do you think Dave is praying for? And he prayed, and he prayed, and prayed for his father he lost contact with and hadn't talked to. He's going through his ministry not knowing anything about his dad, thinking that the next time he's going to hear about his father, he's going to hear that his father has died of alcoholism in a ditch someplace. And he prays, and he prays, and he prays for his father. Until one day he gets a phone call that his father is in the hospital. And he goes to visit his father, who has terminal cancer, and he goes in to share his testimony with his father and says, "Dad, I'd like to tell you what God's done in my life." You know what his dad says? "A few years back, 2 or 3 years back, things weren't going so well. I hit rock bottom and someone took me to church. And I accepted Jesus Christ and I haven't touched a sip of alcohol in 3 years. And my life has changed. And here I am and I get my prayer answered. I get to see my son before I die and tell him what God has done in my life." And you hear stories like this and you say, there is power in prayer. And sometimes we don't have the physical opportunity to be that light in the dark place. Sometimes a door seems to be closed. But where a door might close to us, God can open it with someone else, right? He's the God that can constantly put those reminders and those things into the lives of others. And so I would like to talk tonight about prayer. And I've got some points, and this might take 2 weeks to talk about prayer and praying for our loved ones. But I'd like to head down that road. And the first thing I'd like to talk about is praying always. Praying always. In Colossians chapter 1, a verse that we looked at last October, it says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, in this passage, Paul's talking to someone who has already accepted Jesus Christ. And he says, since we heard about you coming to the faith and accepting the gospel, we pray for you always. And Paul's saying, I heard you became a Christian, and I haven't stopped praying about you since I heard of your faith. How much more ought we, if we know somebody and our heart is broken for that person, just pray always, without ceasing, and just pray and pray and pray. I put under here in my notes, I put, don't give up. Don't quit. Be passionate. Sometimes, do you think that Dave's grandfather, do you think that the devil placed into his heart that even if he was praying, what good, don't you think that that's the kind of thing that the devil tries to say to us? Because I know and I know many of you know more than I do, but I know praying for years for someone is hard. As I've watched and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that God would work in someone's life and prayed and prayed and prayed. And there are times where it begins to seem like, the devil wants you to think that. Is my prayer accomplishing something? It seems like they're not listening. It seems like they're getting further from where I want them to be. And I'm sure that Dave probably thought that about his father. And every memory that he had of his father was him just going further and further and further into alcoholism. And as he walked away from that, his dad probably just got to the point where he was so low and he was so broken that God could finally get through to him. The next thing I have up here is that if you're praying, you need to make sure that your heart is right. Because I'm thinking about that. The first thing that popped into my mind is as I was thinking about prayer. And in the formula, prayer, invest, invite. Prayer, invest, invite. The first thing that came into my mind was easy. It was simple. And I just wanted to say it over and over again. Pray daily. Pray daily. Pray. Every time that person's name pops into your head, pray. At morning, pray. At evening, pray. And it might be a long, long, long process, but keep praying. The next thing that popped into my head, the next verse that popped into my head, came from James chapter 5 and verse 16. Actually, let me start in verse 15. It says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will forgive him. He will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And I read this passage, and I go, this is amazing. Because the first thing that popped in my head was the effectual, fervent prayer. And I thought about that effectual, fervent, just that prayer, that constant prayer, and being passionate about your prayer and daily praying. But then as I'm reading this, I said, we've used this so much with someone who is sick. And then as I got thinking about it, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I said, yeah, we can use this verse. And if someone comes and asks for prayer about a physical problem, yeah, by all means, we should use this verse. And this should apply. But I'm sitting here and going, what bigger sickness is there in this world that people need to be healed from than the sickness of sin. Right? It's the worst physical, spiritual, emotional problem. And think about what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins, He has made alive. I picture the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel chapter 37. Sin destroys. And I say this probably to my wife way too much. Sin, every sin is addictive. And they all lead down that road towards destruction. Every single one of them. And they are a disease that we need healing from. And so as we pray, as we have that effectual, fervent prayer, it says that we have to have the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. As we are praying for that person, that they would come to know Christ, we need to show that righteous living makes a difference in our life. I have to think in Dave's life, I'm sure his grandfather wasn't perfect. And I haven't heard much about his grandfather's story, except for he was a good testimony to his grandson. He got his grandson started in a Bible study and off to Bible college. And I have to think that his grandfather, who was praying for him, was living a righteous example. Even if his son, his grandson wasn't around to watch it, he was living a righteous life. And so often through the Bible, God calls us to live righteous lives. And so as we have that mind, that we have someone in our life that we want to know, to come to know Jesus Christ, that ought to be something that is going to inspire us to live right and to do right and to live the way that Jesus Christ would want us to live. So that when we go before the Father and we pray, we can say to God, God, living righteously and having faith in Jesus Christ and being separate and different from the world, it makes a difference. And I want my loved one to know what I know and to see the things that I see. The world looks so good to the lost, but it destroys. And when you talk to a Christian that has lived for Christ and the testimony of their life, a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not going to make everything, every problem in this world go away. It's not going to make you be wealthy and free from all the trials and tribulations of this life. But it brings a joy and a peace and a contentment that you're resting in your Savior that nobody living on the outside can know. They're searching for it, but they need an example of how following Jesus Christ makes a difference. And just think about Elijah. Think about what Elijah, as he prayed, that it wouldn't rain. And then he prayed again that it would rain. And I've often kind of put myself into Elijah's shoes and tried to think about what he went through and what he experienced. One of the things that has always struck me about him is when you read the other prophets, it says God came to Isaiah and thus saith the Lord to Isaiah. And Isaiah takes God's message and goes. God comes to Jonah, gives him a message, and he goes. In Elijah's case, it just said, Elijah was a different kind of guy, you know that. And as we look in 1 Kings, when he comes onto the scene, it says, Elijah just walked right into Ahab's throne room and says, you're doing wrong. And I'm going to pray to God. And God already said that if you're following after other gods, it's not going to rain. And it's not going to rain until I say so. Then it says, thus saith the Lord to Elijah. Before that, he just marched in the room and said, I'm going to pray to God. You're doing wrong. And God said, this is what he's going to do. I believe God's going to do it. Love that about Elijah. He was bold. He was a different kind of guy. And as we're praying for a loved one, and we see that they're heading down the wrong path, and we're worried about their soul, maybe we ought to pray with that kind of boldness. God, that my loved one, my child, my grandchild, my cousin, my uncle, my aunt, whoever, they need to know you as Savior. God, do something. Bring that right person into their life. Drop it right in their lap and don't let them out the door until they've heard the gospel and present it with a clear gospel. Just pray to God with power in the name of Jesus. Be bold in your prayers for how you're going to pray for that person. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then think about when Elijah went to pray that God would bring the rain back. How many times did he have to pray before the little cloud appeared in the sky? He definitely was a person who was an example of the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. First time the prayer went up, did he give up? No. He prayed again. He prayed again. And he prayed again. I've never prayed for rain like that and just kept praying. I know sometimes I have prayed that God would stop the rain. I remember one time at camp, and I'm sure Brad's had these days and he will have these kind of days as he's up there. I can remember one time I set up this birthday party for a girl, and she came and it looked like it was going to rain, and Mom came and I had to cancel because it was just pouring rain. So I planned the party for the next week. And they come up the next week. I get everything all set up. I've got it all set up. It looked like it was going to rain a little bit, but it might stop soon. And we were looking and maybe we should do this. Maybe we shouldn't. I said, maybe it'll stop. And so here I am, this little girl's 8-year-old birthday party or something, and we're going on in this long trail ride, and the whole time I'm just sitting there going, God, stop the rain, stop the rain. It just rained harder that day. But that must have been one of the wettest. I had some wet trail rides over the years, but that was a wet one. And at the end, you know, I think about it, that girl came back to camp and back to camp and back to camp and brought her friends with her. And I know that family still to this day. And maybe just me, maybe being just really having that desire and I'm going to do this for you. No, I'm going to make sure this gets done and not just cancel and bail on you and give up on you. Maybe that made a difference. I don't know what God's plans were. And I've said to myself a couple of times, I've said, God, someday I'm going to ask you about that day. I was just praying that you'd stop the rain, and it just kept coming, and it kept coming. Because I know God's got a plan with these things. And I know his plans are better than mine. But let's continue to think about that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. There's one more time when I think about Elijah and his effectual, fervent prayer and his boldness and just the way he went about his prayers and stuff, is when the widow's son died. And he takes that boy in his arms. He carries him up the stairs. And he gets on and prays over that boy 3 times. a lifeless boy. And there's the whole three thing. It has to be important. It's very important. And maybe someday we'll just talk about the threes in the Bible. And it's just amazing. But I think about that. And you look in the scriptures. Everybody that comes after him, that has to think about somebody coming back from the dead. They had Elijah as an example. As Elisha is praying for someone to come back from the dead. As in the New Testament, as the apostles, as Jesus Christ is raising people, they all have Elijah as the example. And maybe I'm wrong on this, and I would love to be set straight if I am. But what's Elijah's example of someone praying for somebody to come? And he kept at it. Prayed three times. And maybe that loved one feels lost and gone. And that there's no hope. And they just don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ or with church or with. You have to remember that from an eternal perspective, Ephesians chapter 2, which I already talked about tonight, they are dead in their trespasses and sins. Just like that lifeless boy that Elijah was holding. And it seems hopeless when you're holding someone dead that they will come back to life, right? Seems hopeless. But Elijah kind of prayer, effectual, fervent prayer. You who were once dead in your trespasses and sins, he has made alive. Let's just look at that passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. The Spirit now adds, the Spirit whom now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I'd like you to bow your heads in prayer this evening. And I would like you to picture in your mind that Dave Pearson in your life. I don't know who your Dave Pearson is. A loved one that maybe you haven't seen for years, and you don't know when the next time you will see them is. Maybe it's somebody that you've seen, but it seems hopeless because they are lifeless. Because they are dead in their trespasses and sins. And you want nothing more in this world for them to experience new life. You want to know that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you'll pray 1, 2, 3 times, like Elijah did over that boy? Or like he did as he prayed for the rain to come back again and again? Or you'll pray for the rest of your life or till Jesus Christ comes back. And you'll beg Jesus Christ for the soul of that young person. And maybe this week, maybe next week, God will get that person dragged into a church. And that they'll sit down and open their heart to the gospel. Wouldn't that be amazing? Pray for that person. Pray hard for them this evening. And maybe tonight's a night where you need to spend a little bit extra time in prayer for that person. Take it and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, every single one of us have that person on our mind that we're going to live for, that we're going to pray about, that we are going to just beg that they will find salvation at the foot of the cross through Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. Lord, we know that there is power in the name of Jesus. We know there's power in prayer. And Lord, we pray that You will do the good things that are in Your heart and that You desire to change and to make a difference in that life. And Lord, there are millions of Dave Pearsons and testimonies of people who, because of countless prayers in amazing circumstances, came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Help us to pray and to pray for their souls, for their eternal souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.